It's here and now. And I have before me something I rarely bring out of the drawer, where I hide it in a tiny plastic baggie inside a bottle. Occasionally, I just smell it, but I only use it rarely because it costs a fortune. I'm referring, of course, to my saffron. It takes more than 150,000 crocuses to make just a couple pounds, and just a pinch provides flavor in dishes like risotto or Spanish paella or the Iranian bhagali pulao, lima beans and rice. In fact, 80% of saffron is grown in Iran, and now you can get it directly from there once again, because among the sanctions lifted on Iranian imports were caviar, carpets, pistachios, nuts, and saffron. But a while back, a group of scientists from around the world joined to form a field called saffronomics. They held a conference in Spain last fall to address saffron fraud. Pat Heplop Harrison is a professor of genetics at the University of Leicester in the UK, and he joined us by Skype. Professor, what exactly are your concerns?
Well, a real concern, of course, is that people who buy the fraudulent saffron, the synthetic colors, are not getting all of the goodness of the aroma and the flavor, which you mentioned in your introduction there.
Well, in fact, we have a colleague, Kathleen, who made some risotto, I think, the other night and used her saffron. And she said it didn't, nothing happened. There was no kick. Can you explain the aroma? I'm smelling it right now, but explain it.
Absolutely. It's very interesting that in saffron, there are three different compounds in the natural saffron, which affect three different senses of ours differently. So there's the color, of course, which you can tell is a nice orange. But then there's also the flavor, which gives it this slightly bitter but bittersweet flavor. And then the aroma of the floral vanilla notes that one has.
Yeah.
Normally, if you buy the very cheap or ground saffron or saffron that is otherwise adulterated, the flavor and aroma won't be there.
Well, I'm holding my little packet and no one can take it away from me. And it's strands of sort of these crinkly red little strands. And it was tucked, this little packet was tucked into a bottle, you know, off a spice shelf.
Yes.
It cost about $20 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. That would be what the typical cost would be for the weight of one penny or 1 cent piece. You might pay up to $25 for that. But of course, it shouldn't put you off using it, because actually you only need a tiny pinch, two or three of the little strands per person. That's only a few pennies per serving.
Which is why I still have my packet of saffron. But remind us how it's made. I want to talk more about the fraud, but remind us the painstaking work that goes into...
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So whereas you might get several tons of corn from an acre of land, you will only get a couple of pounds of saffron. And that involves picking the crocus flowers, 100,000 or so per acre, and then pulling out from the middle of those on a table, individual people, pulling out the stigmas, which are the orange structures that collect the pollen when the plant is fertilized. But it's actually the stigmas which are the prized spice.
And these are the three filament little strands. This is what you see when you see. And then it's dried?
Yes, and then it's dried. Different countries have different traditions for the drying, which means there are slight differences between whether you have it from Kashmir in India or Iran or Spain or Greece. The color and the flavor, the smell might differ slightly because of the different drying processes, but basically it's very, very low heat, which can either be the sun or in a low oven.
Well, so a food writer from the New York Times a while back did a beautiful piece. She went to Tehran, Isfahan, Iran, to look at the industry and to see what was happening. And she talked about, you know, intense speculation going on inside Iran because of an anticipation that the sanctions would be lifted, and how people were buying up saffron and hoarding it. What had been happening even before this? How did the fraudulent market in saffron start?
Well, there are several different types of fraud. One is selling things that aren't saffron. The other is selling saffron as though it's produced in one country and not in another. And clearly Iran's production has been much higher than that of any other country in the world, partly because it's unusually fitted to the climate around the Isfahan area, the climate and soils that we have there, and because of the availability of the labor. But it does mean that the Iranian saffron has been at a lower price, and therefore it's been shipped, and unscrupulous people have relabeled it as coming from a different country, Spain or Greece or indeed India.
Well, and what happened to lead Spain in particular to bring in Iranian saffron and then relabel it as Spanish? Didn't Spain used to have its own saffron market?
It did have its own production, and it still produces a few percent of the Iranian production, but people like it so much that the local production certainly doesn't keep up with the demand. There wouldn't be enough people to actually be able to harvest it and pull out all of those hundreds of thousands of little stigmas to sell. And the Spanish demand is huge because the paella is pretty much a national dish, which has a lot of its quality complementing the seafood and rice coming from the saffron spice.
Well, now, Professor, you've got me rethinking my love of saffron. If I'm thinking about the laborer and the maybe little tiny fingers that might be sitting and pulling the stigmas from these, you know, 150,000 or more flowers to produce 2 pounds of saffron, are there any questions about the labor, you know, the child labor maybe, and how it's produced in Iran?
We always like to think about the ethical production of the food. It certainly is very often done as a family activity. So I expect that a few of the children would be involved in helping, but more, I'd rather think from what I've heard that it's not the coerced paid labor outside the family that is a major concern for many other products. Yeah. And individual farms are relatively small that are producing much of the saffron, as far as I've seen and heard from talking to the producers and the traders that are buying it.
Well, you've had the farmers from Isfahan come to your lab. Your lab, I mean, you have a lab where you work on this. Yep. Why is this so important to you, to have it be the perfect, the real saffron?
Well, personally, of course, I enjoy saffron to eat it and use it as a spice in both savory and sweet dishes. But in my whole research project, we are interested in high-value agricultural products, which are good for rural development and for sustainability of agriculture. And I'm also interested fundamentally in exploiting the biodiversity of all the crops that are out there and looking at what their wild relatives are, where they come from originally, and how they've spread across the world and the ways that they're used. So that's where the laboratory interest comes.
Well, there's so many different ways to think about saffron. You can grind it, although be careful because you don't want to lose any of it, but you can make it into fine powder that can be kept. We understand you should never put it in the freezer, keep it sealed, keep it out of the light.
Yes.
It can dye things, so yes. Be careful there.
Yes, so don't spill it on your white shirts or white tablecloth. Generally speaking, we would say that you're less likely to get adulterated and fake saffron if you buy it as the strands and then use that directly, maybe just crush it in your fingers as you put it in your dish.
Well, but how do you know whether it's fake?
It's possible to tell, of course. As I say, you use strands rather than the ground type, but then look at it very, very carefully. And you might see that it doesn't really look as though it has a strand with a feathery end to it. But some groups are selling corn silks cut into little pieces about an inch long and dyed. Hmm. But if it looks like the true saffron, that's a good indication. Then, of course, smell it. A lot of the pure fraudulent saffron doesn't have any aroma or any flavor associated with it. So the color is the big target of the fraudsters.
Well, this is definitely Definitely saffron. What I have, it's so pungent. Pat Heslop-Harrison, professor in the Department of Genetics at the University of Leicester in the UK, speaking to us by Skype about his passion, saffron. What do you think about the sanctions being lifted?
Well, I'm really happy that it's going to help distribute more of the high-quality saffron that the Iranians are able to produce. And I hope that it will ensure that their agriculture and small-scale industries of processing have something else that they're able to distribute to us that we really appreciate, both scientifically and as consumers.
Yeah. Professor, thank you so much.
Thanks very much. Very good talk to you, Robin.
I'm just mad about saffron. Oh, saffron's mad about me. I'm just mad about saffron. She's just mad about me.
Had to do it. Here now.
Quite rightly.